Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Thursday morning MV Pro call. Today is December 1st, and I'd like to welcome those of you that are here live, as well as those of you listening to this via recording, which of course you can do by subscribing to MotiVitality on whatever podcast application you happen to use, or by visiting MotiVitality.com, where you can listen to years and years and years worth of archives. I hope everybody had an incredible Thanksgiving. We are, you know, racing to the end of the year. Just give everybody a heads up. Usually, we'll have two or three of these calls. It's the first, so we'll probably have three more. In fact, I haven't really looked at the calendar to figure out when. But usually, we take a break from the MV Pro call during the between the holiday, so the week before will be our last call probably, and then we of course won't have another until the beginning of 2023. But going to start the call off the way I do pretty much every week, which is by asking, was there anything anybody learned this last week, or actually the last 2 weeks over Thanksgiving, any interesting conversations, any of that stuff, anything that you learned that you wish you had known before, anything that happened that's worthy of sharing with other professionals across the country, or anything we can help you with? Do you have anything?
Allie, if nobody else does.
Jen, go for it.
Yes. So for those that are on the call and those that are possibly listening, recording, next week is National Groundwater Week, and the convention is in Las Vegas. If there's anybody that is going, look me up because I will be there. I'm not presenting. We're not exhibiting anything like that, but just look me up because I'll just be wandering the trades. Show floor, going to classes, things like that.
Nice.
You know, it's very interesting, the classes they have, how they tie in with the water industry. So very cool.
Well, we, MotiVitality and MV Marketplace have some really exciting things happening. We sold out our first two installer classes. We're super excited about that. Over the next two or three days, I will sit down and put together a schedule for the next two classes, maybe the next three. But one of the super cool things that is really exciting is that those that go through the installer course, we are going to be using the exact same curriculum as WQA's certified installer curriculum, which means that if people sign up for the installer training, where they're going to get the hands-on actual installer experience, they will also, it will double as WQA certification training, the virtual. It will not include the exam or the time on the job requirements that you have to become certified, but it will include all of the coursework, the virtual homework and coursework. Which is super, super cool. So we take a look for that. We will, like I said, have the schedule for the February courses online, hopefully by the end of the weekend. So it's pretty exciting. Anybody else have anything before we jump on to our topic here? Well, then let's talk about it. You know, I was thinking about this topic, and there's a lot of, as with a lot of these topics that we have, we're going to talk about whose customer it is, right? And there's a lot of different directions that this can go, hoping to have some interaction from you guys. We've got quite a few of you on here today. But I was thinking about how I was, when I used to be in sales, I would drive down the road, and it was incredible in my territory. I saw each house, like, that's my customer. That's my customer. If I took somebody with me that, you know, was new, that's my customer. That's my customer. That's my customer. That's my customer. And I used to do that all the time. In fact, I couldn't, in many cases, remember the customer's name, but I could certainly remember their house and where the plumbing was and what, you know, where the system went in and what challenges ran into. I don't know if anybody else was like that, but that's, but I always called them my customer, and that was when I was in sales. And I remember thinking, you know, my customers have loyalty to me. They would call me back. You know, I would get a lot of calls back from people saying, "Hey, you doing?" Not as much the last couple years, but for a good 15, 20 years after I was in sales, I would still on occasion get, because I have the same phone number, still on occasion get phone calls from somebody saying, you still working with such and such? And I would forward them over to the, you know, to the company I used to work for. But we've also had the conversation, I know Jen has had this too, with salespeople who claim those customers. They feel like it's their customer, right? Like it's, in fact, sometimes they feel so strongly about that that I've heard salespeople say, if I left, they, my customers would follow me. They'd definitely go with me. They're buying from me. They tell me that if it wasn't for me, they would never do business with my company. Jen, I know you've heard people say that. I've certainly heard people say that. So I want to pose the question. We've got quite a few out there. Those of you that are in sales or those of you that are in management, you might have different perspectives, but I'm wondering, whose customer is it anyway? Well, you guys, let's start off with some conversation. You guys talk about that. Tell me some perspectives. What do you think?
This is Elaine. I think the customer belongs to the house because we have the equipment. We warranty the equipment. We have the installers. We have the service. We have the filters. And the salesperson, especially if they're not with us anymore, they can't provide that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Anybody else?
So I am the company. I am a representative of that company. My customer is the company's customer. If I go somewhere else, it's like she said, you know, if I go to a competitor, they're not going to have the equipment. And then there's also that fact that how do I look at them and say, okay, everything I told you about the previous stuff is bogus. This is really better. I'm not going to do that.
Go ahead, Matt. I'm sorry.
It's that I just don't plan on changing either.
Yeah.
So,
Jen, what were you going to add?
At least that she's not going to announce on, you know, national
on recorded. This call's being recorded. Yeah. Yeah.
But you
it
know,
they tee me off, I suppose.
Right.
You know. I completely agree with Elaine also that, yes, it's the company's customer. But the thing that I love is when the sales professional takes ownership of that. And when I say ownership, that is in, you know, that's my customer, I'm going to take them with me. But, you know, they take ownership as in, that's my customer, I want to take care of them, you know, and that's part of being a sales professional. I feel in the water treatment industry is that it's almost like having your own business but not having to pay, you know, all of the overhead is because you should be able to kind of do what you want to do. And I don't know, those are my customers, you know, and like you said, you drive down the road, I installed there, I did that, you know, these people were awesome. They brought me in on Saturdays for breakfast, you know.
So I love the results of this because, Elaine, I also agree 100% with you. I was talking to somebody who's not in the industry, and I asked him this question a couple days ago. I said, you know, just not necessarily with water treatment equipment, but how many times have you ever, you know, bought something from a company simply because of the salesperson, meaning you bought something and then 2 or 3 years later you needed to buy something else and you you called that company back and to see if the salesperson was still there, which I'll come back to in a second, and then found out they weren't there, found out the new company they worked at and went and bought the product from there. And so this person I was talking to said, yeah, there was an example. There was insurance. She had insurance from one company, and she really liked the agent. And so when she needed to add insurance, she had heard that this agent had gone to work for another company. So she did switch over her insurance. She followed the salesperson to the new insurance company. She also told me that she had been used to the same features and qualities that initial product had offered, The initial company and the new company didn't have those, and so she and by the way, that salesperson is not at that company anymore, the new one, and so she ended up going to an entirely different company because that had the features. So I do suspect that there are times that you have a good enough rapport with the salesperson that you feel like, you know, like they're very attentive, they're very good, and you know, to follow them over. I also feel that, you know, I mean, there are times that you may have a good enough rapport that you would follow them. I think that that's probably very rare. I got a letter one time, and I was thinking about this when I bought my car from, now I've talked about this, but it's been a while since I've mentioned this, but when I was shopping for vehicles, it was very frustrating. It's funny, I made my daughter go with me because I was going to give her my old car, and I was shopping for vehicles. She said, "Dad, are they all like this?" And unfortunately, a lot of them were, but it was very frustrating because there are not a lot of great car salespeople out there. You know, if I were selling cars or anything, we've talked an awful lot about question-based selling, right, where you walk in and or you should be asking more questions than telling people. You know, you should find out, just like a doctor, you should diagnose and find out. If I were selling cars, before I ever showed anybody on a lot or gave them like a blanket thing, I would sit down with them and I would find out exactly what they're looking for. And then I would take them to one or two cars that, or, you know, three or four cars that I felt like they would need. These people, to a T, where, you know, you come in and you kind of give them an idea of what you want, and they just completely ignore it. They give you the keys or take you out and show you what they want to sell you, you know, the feature car that week or whatever. And it was so frustrating. When I was shopping for cars, I ended up finding the car that I wanted. I did my own research, found the car, found the dealership that had the car that I wanted for the price that I wanted to pay, went and drove it, tested it, did all the research, knew what engine was in it, knew all that stuff, way more than the salesperson. So I bought the car. And then about a year later, I got a letter from the salesperson. The only way I knew it was the salesperson was because I recognized the name, but the letter said, the letter was on different letterhead. It was from a different dealership. So I bought my car. I bought from a Chrysler dealership. It was a Jeep Grand Cherokee. And this person had gone to work to a Ford dealership. And I got this letter from the new Ford dealership saying, "You've done business with me before. I left. I'm with this new company. You know, come here and do this. And that really bugged me for a couple of reasons. Number one, the guy did nothing except get a commission. I mean, literally nothing. It always irritated me that I had to go through him to buy my car, you know, because it was, I did all the work, you know. But then to get this letter, it was so presumptuous. So from a company standpoint, that would have really, I mean, it was on the new company letterhead and everything. That would have really infuriated me from a company standpoint. From a customer standpoint, it also irritated me because it was just really presumptuous. Why, you know, why would this guy think that did he think that he was so good at car sales that I was going to go there and buy a car from him, you know, just because he worked at a new place? I don't know. I'm not sure why that bugged me. What do you guys think of that? Is that appropriate? Would that be, Elaine, you're an owner. How would that make you feel if somebody went to a competitor and sent out letters to all of your customers?
Well, I think it's inappropriate. I think it's inappropriate and unprofessional to do that because you know, if you met them or you introduced through a certain company, then you know, the company, I think it's wrong. I don't think it's appropriate.
I completely agree. In fact, that, you know, and I was always wondered if it was just because I was in sales and I've been in sales and management, you know, that I felt that it was. But the truth is, you know, most people, if you work for a, you know, I mean, your brand, Elaine, like you said, you've got the equipment, you've got the service, you've got all of that. That salesperson cannot provide. They didn't come. Those new customers did not buy that product because of the salesperson. The salesperson may have helped. That was his job, his or her job. That's what they were supposed to do. But they're there to represent the company. What you said, Stacy, I love the way you put that. And then, Jen, your follow-up, and those of you that are in sales, I think this is really important to listen to here, that you, Stacy said, I am the company. I love that. That's true. Stacy is part of what that company offers. Okay, and then, Jen, you said a sales professional is going to take ownership of that customer. They're going to take ownership of it. And that, I think, is also important because if you believe both of those things, if you believe that you are the company, that you're there to represent the company, as Stacy said, but then you take ownership of it as if you were a manager. And I agree with you, Jen. Sales was always as close as I could get to having my own company without having the headaches of having my own company. It's one of the things I always loved about sales in this industry. And then I've had people, when you take it, because there are some companies that pay differently for creative leads or versus house leads. And I support that, actually. I think it's a little more complicated. It's a little harder to track when you do that. But I think it's a good way to do it, to incentivize people to go out and create their own business. And I've had companies or, salespeople justify stealing. And frankly, I think it is theft. Okay. When you leave and you take that customer list and you send a letter out to them, I'm going to get back at that company that I'm disgruntled with now that I used to work for, and I'm going to try and recruit all of their customers and steal them away. I think that's theft. Honestly, that's my opinion. I think that's not appropriate at all. But I've heard salespeople justify that. Well, they wouldn't have had this customer if not for me. It was a creative lead. I found that customer. I went out there and I door knocked, or I sent out letters. Yeah, but if you didn't work for that company and you didn't have the product or the service that company offered, they wouldn't have bought anything from you. So you're not gonna just send out. You were representing that company and that product. So yeah, great. You did your job and created business. That's awesome. And I know this sounds like I'm like harping on salespeople, but I'm telling you, salespeople out there, stop whining. Be a professional. that's it. You're hurting the rest of the sales professionals when you're giving sales a bad name when you're acting like a salesperson as opposed to a sales professional. So you're probably right if you hear that in my voice. I don't have a lot of patience for salespeople. I think give the sales profession a bad name sometimes. Sales professionals understand exactly what Elaine, Jen, and Stacy said. That they are representing the product and the company. Go earn those customers back a different way if you're working for a new company. What do you guys think of that? That was my tangent rant. What do you think? You agree? Disagree? Should they? What about creative leads? Are those justifiable? Is it justifiable for that salesperson to call on those customers that they feel they created, to reach out to them? Anybody? I mean, I think I can tell the short answer is probably no, right? Anybody disagree with that? Anybody have a different perspective? It's okay. You're in a safe place. You can say it.
We pretty much provide all of the lead generation. However,
yeah.
if they do their own and they, nobody door knocks, but if they did or they had a referral, family member or whatever, then we would just give them a higher commission for bringing in their own lead.
And would you feel it would be appropriate if they left that whose customer would that be, Elaine?
Well, it'd be ours because we have dedicated product that they don't have access to unless they are the
right. And you gave them a higher commission, so frankly, you paid for that lead, right? I mean, you paid for that lead the same way you paid for the advertising that brought in the house leads. If there was a creative lead, you have the margin to pay them the higher commission because you didn't have to generate that lead through advertising. Although people don't come to these companies through one singular method. You know, even a creative lead, you know, if a customer didn't know anything about the product, that creative lead's a lot harder to develop. And so many times it's, you know, people go, I generated that business. If it wasn't for me, they wouldn't have had that business. Well, that's not entirely true, because you didn't put out the advertising or the, you know, to give them the name recognition. You're not paying for, you know, in your place, your case, Elaine, you know, the Costco stuff, right? Or the, you know, the advertising, the marketing that made them aware of what that product is, you know, that gives them the resources. So, yeah, yay, they created it. They brought it in. It was a referral from somebody that, you know, I mean, a lot of companies, a lot of salespeople will consider that their customer is a creative lead, right? It was a referral from somebody that bought from your company because of advertising. You know, so who's, that one seems pretty easy to me. I mean, most companies would pay that as a creative lead, but the reality is that wasn't generated completely on their own. It was generated because the first person answered an ad, and then the salesperson went out and did their job and got a referral. So yay for them. That's great. So I don't know. What do you guys, any other thoughts on this? Because I think in general, what I want to kind of express here is that those of you that are in sales, I think adopting the attitude that Jen is talking about, take ownership, okay? Take pride in it. Everybody leaves, you know, everybody has a, you know, they find better opportunity, or maybe they've decided not to, you know, for whatever reason, they want to go work for a different company. Don't be so arrogant to think that those customers only bought from that company because of you. It may have been partially, and again, you did your job, nicely done, okay? But that's not, you were only one component, you know? Otherwise, companies wouldn't stay in business. You know, if every company lost every customer or most of their customers every time a salesperson went, it would be an impossible, they wouldn't be in business. They wouldn't be able to survive. Agree,
so
disagree, thoughts? Go ahead.
We have reps that leave to do solar, for example, or HVAC,
yeah,
or something.
Yeah.
And so we have to be very clear in our contract that the salesperson, you know, is an employee, and that we have no responsibility of any other products that they may offer, because that does happen. They'll contact their water company, and now they're working for a solar company, and the customer gets confused because they're not clear on who they represent. So that can be.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that that's, you know, it goes, and you deal with this. I know, Elaine, you've talked about this on this call a little bit before, and there really is a difference between those salespeople out there that, and there are salespeople, you know, those are the guys or gals, people that think that they are the greatest salesperson in the world, and you look at their resumes and they've sold HVAC and solar and water treatment and windows and landscaping. And I mean, Jen, how many times have you and I interviewed people where they've come in and said, I could sell ice to an Eskimo. And my question to them when they die, I mean, literally people still say that term. They use that phrase. I could sell ice to an Eskimo. And my question is, yeah, but why would you? You know, like, I mean, unless the Eskimo, you know, specifically came to you and said, I would like to buy some ice, why would you? That doesn't impress me. Just because you have the ability to manipulate somebody or trick somebody into buying something they don't need, that's, get out of my industry, in my opinion. You know, and so I hate that it's necessary that you have to have a contract that states you have to make it very clear who you're selling to and what product you're selling to. I mean, that's why so much of what this call is about is that I want people to leave here, those of you listening to this, leave the call thinking, you know what? I am a professional. I am better than the average salesperson, because the average salesperson doesn't really care about the customer. They're just looking for the commission check. They're just looking for that job. It's a gimme, gimme, gimme. Salespeople are way more gimme, gimme, gimme. And it has to do of course, a gimme, gimme, gimme person, a selfish person is going to claim that without them, the world falls apart around them. You know, that's why I am much harder to find, but you know, you find that person, that professional that understands that it's not their story. It's about the customer, you know, and if they have the honor of working for a company and representing a quality product and service, then they should do that with utmost integrity and professionalism while they're there. And if they decide to represent a different product or company, for whatever reason, they should understand that is their choice and that they are now representing a different product or company. Anyway, that's my little rant. You guys made this way too easy. Everybody sort of agreed. I was hoping, I figured we would have a conversation about like creative versus other stuff. So fill in the blanks for me here. What are you guys, any other final comments, any other thoughts on this? I don't want to keep going just because we have 30 minutes and beating a dead horse here. God, I keep using a phrase. Yeah, go ahead, Corey.
I just wanted to give you a scenario.
Yeah.
Let's say a salesperson decides they're not too happy with their company they're working for whatever reason, maybe the company's slacking, you know, and instead of going to work for someone else, they decide to open their own company and they actually do it pretty well and they're taking care of their customers better. What's your advice to that original company?
Look, if those companies, if those customers come to the new company organically, I think that's fine. It's appropriate, right? I think that if that salesperson or employee went and opened another company and is talking bad about their previous company or in any way, shape, or form disparaging that previous company, or frankly going in and using, again, I think it's theft. Okay, they took a customer list and they're sending out and marketing to that customer list. I feel that's unethical. Make the new company, make your own company successful on its own merits, not based on this. I mean, in my opinion, you're stealing from them. And frankly, from a customer standpoint, if I knew that, if I got a letter, I mean, you know, that letter I got from that sales guy, the car sales guy, that's what I remember thinking, is I would never do business with this guy. He's clearly dishonest. He's clearly willing to steal, you know, and I know in his mind he didn't feel he was doing that. In his mind, he felt he was disgruntled from the previous company. But from a customer standpoint, I felt I didn't want to do business with somebody that was willing to be dishonest. I actually would have had the opposite effect on me. Even if I found the car at that dealership, I would not have bought it from that guy. So I don't know if that answers your question, Corey. Anybody else?
Yeah, I totally agree.
Anybody else have a different answer or a different thought on that, on Corey's scenario?
So actually, when car guys and real estate agents change offices, trust me, their new offices tell them you got to sit down and send out a letter or an email to all your old clients letting them know you've moved.
Yeah. Yeah,
right?
I think it's wrong.
And I don't care which office you're going to, they're all going to say the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, I've got a car guy that's moved lots of times. But what gets me is when we've got someone from the dealership that he's currently at sending me stuff. And I'm like, but he's still there.
Yeah.
Why are you trying to poach from your own guys? That's what gets me.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, but they're not poaching for, I mean, I agree. I agree that sometimes they're like, you know, taking stuff from, you know, sending out and that's a different conversation of whether or not that's, you know, that's appropriate or not. But again, the company is their customers. They're allowed to market. I think I don't, that doesn't make it right necessarily, but the customers do belong to them, not the salesperson. And Stacey, you're right. I've seen that with realtors and car dealerships a lot. So.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just, all right, that does take us to 9 o'clock, to our time. I really so appreciate you guys. There were so many of you jumping on here today. We had a lot of you on, and a lot of you didn't say anything, so I hope that you found some value in the call. Please join us next week, and everybody be safe and have a great weekend. We will talk to you next week, if not before. Okay. So thanks, everybody.
Thanks.